Lord, appreciate your prayers this morning. Lord, bless his word. It's inspired me with a little message to bring to you this morning on our lifeline. I'd like to begin in 2 Kings. 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. Beginning in the 24th verse of 2 Kings 6. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. Behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. That's quite a bad predicament that they found themselves in, the inhabitants of Samaria. The illustration that it gives of that they were eating or that they were turning to, their commodity, that and the price that they were paying for something that otherwise would have been near worthless, indicated the conditions that they were under, the scarcity that they were living under at the time. That you couldn't just go anymore and go over to the supermarket had they had such a thing. And if they had, the shelves would have been bare, out of stock, no way to replenish it. The gardens perhaps had already been plucked bare, nothing left to pull from it and to be able to eat. They were in very dire straits. And you can even read more about the situation. Well, it says in the 28th verse, the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes. And he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh." Oh, and he began to realize the direness of the situation. Whenever he heard that they're resorting to cannibalism and eating one another's sons, and so forth, such was the condition and the desperation that they felt, history records that it was perhaps similar under the siege of Jerusalem after the time of Christ and the conditions that Jerusalem was under whenever they were attacked and besieged. But thinking about this city and the place that they were in dire straits. Their lives were on the line. Well, that's a military tactic dating back far into history, at least to this time, and no doubt before, that an enemy will come up, and they didn't just overrun the walls of the city. They didn't just try to storm the city, overtake, or try to breach the gates or something like that. Their strategy was different than that. Their strategy was to lay siege to it, to surround the walls of the city, and just camp against it. And maybe launch occasional attacks or something like that to keep them on the defensive. But the danger of it was, your lifeline has been cut off. Your supply, your ability to replenish what you need to sustain your life has been cut off. You can't replenish your groceries. You can't replenish your clean water and whatever else they might have had need of. The supply line has been cut off. In military battles, even more recent history, they'll target the supply lines, or maybe a bridge or railroads that's carrying supplies to the front. Because if they can cut off the supply of essentials, cut off the supply of life-giving food and ammunition and things like that, it's just a matter of time until the enemy can't fight, until they're so weakened that they don't have any will to fight and they don't have any strength to fight. You know, the enemy is besieging the camp of the saints. The enemy is camping against every one of us, and this is but one of his tactics to try to cut off our lifeline, to try to isolate us from the source of grace and of strength and of power that we need from the Lord, because we won't be able to stand very long against the enemy and our own strength and our own ability. Thank the Lord we have a lifeline. That there is a supply of grace and of strength and of wisdom and of courage whenever we're out. That the Lord wants to replenish and supply again. But the enemy wants to cut us off from that lifeline. I'd like to look at the 18th chapter of Luke. I'm thinking today of that lifeline being prayer. I believe that prayer is more than just a religious form or observance or just a discipline of Christianity. It's part of the life of a Christian. But it's not just an outward observance or a form that we're to go through. Luke 18 and 1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there came a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Men ought always to pray and not to faint. This is the purpose of the parable. This is what I want to get across to you. Not the idea that God, of course, was an unjust judge. But if that unjust judge could be moved to action on your behalf by your continual coming and pleading and knocking and interceding, how much more a God that loves us and cares about us and sees our needs and has nothing but our best interest at heart, how much more does he care and listen? "Though he bear long with us." Oh Lord, help us. In reply to that question, will he find faith? Lord, help me not to faint. Lord, help me not to grow weary in looking to the Lord and praying and seeking the Lord. As the song said, God still answers prayer. God is still upon his throne. And he's given access to us. We know that from his throne, the Lord rules over heaven and earth. The hosts of heaven respond to his call. 10,000, I believe the song says, wait for his voice or his word. The Lord is able to speak and the heavens thunder and the hailstones are sent forth and the hornets leave their nest and do his bidding. The Lord has the help that we need. Whatever help that is, at whatever time it is. But without the Lord, we're pitiful. Without the Lord, we have nothing to be able to live life. And this world's not doing a very good job of trying. Folks, we need the Lord. Now is not the time to let up in our diligence of prayer. If ever there was time, this isn't the time. You know, there is something deceptive about a time of peace and safety and prosperity. That it can lull us, if we're not careful, into a sense of complacency. That things are going pretty well. I'm able to pretty well go and supply what I need to supply, and I've I've got a good job and I can go and buy food for my family and all of that. You know, we need the Lord every day of our lives. Perhaps it's easier whenever the economy has tanked and there's great depression affecting all people. And I don't know where my next meal. Oh, I know I've got to go to the Lord. Lord, I know you're going to have to do something for me here. But do you think we need the Lord any less in times of prosperity? I believe we need the Lord every day. Sometimes I just don't realize, or I'm not as aware of my need. I may know in my mind, well, of course I need the Lord's help. Have you ever been in distress and felt so keenly, Lord, I need you. Lord, you're going to have to do something here. There's nothing that I can do in this. Lord, I need you. And whenever we're under the load and the burden and the weight of whatever that trial is, it prompts us many times to be more diligent in prayer. Remember what some questioned Jesus about. Why do your disciples not fast? Well, while the bridegroom's with them, they don't fast, but the time is coming that they're going to fast. Oh Lord, help us that we not faint, that we not become careless in our prayer life. I don't believe this is about a legalistic, regulatory, you know what, 1 hour and 20 minutes a day, 45 minutes a day. I don't believe this is about a legalistic form that we're to go through. But I know the scripture says men ought always to pray and not faint. I want to have that lifeline open to the throne of grace. I want to be connected to the Lord. I've got to have my supplies replenished. I don't have enough store to go very long without refueling, without being replenished and restocked. I may be on the mountaintop today, and I might be singing the songs of victory, and the Lord gave a mighty delivery and victory yesterday. But I need the Lord today. Today is a new day, and I need the Lord to fight my battles today. I believe it was, maybe it was Ben-Hadad, one of the kings, that the enemy had come against Israel, and the Lord gave a victory into their hands, and the enemy retreated, and the prophet came and said, "Mark what you're doing. Take heed unto yourself, because the enemy's coming back. He's not finished. He'll be back again. So take heed what you do." And think about Peter. Whenever Peter felt so sure of himself, Peter didn't feel the urgency of prayer. He told the Lord, "Lord, though all men forsake you, I'm ready to die with you. I've already gotten that settled and fixed in my mind. I'm going to go all the way with the Lord." You know, it's good to have it fixed in our minds and in our hearts. "Lord, I'm going all the way with you. I mean to go on and I mean to go through. Lord, that's my purpose. It's my determination." We're not going to get very far if we don't have that. But you know, we need the grace of God to be able to do anything that we purpose. I may say, "Lord, I'm going to be strong in temptation. When it comes my time of testing, I'm going to put my trust in you." But I don't have what it takes to do that. I need the grace of God. I need His strength empowering me to be able to do. It is God that worketh in us both to will or to desire, to purpose, and to do His good pleasure. So, the key takeaway is we're dependent on the Lord. We're desperate for the Lord's help. I'd like to give a couple illustrations to us. Think of the miracle of new life. The miracle of a of a baby. Fully human, fearfully and wonderfully made, still in the womb of a mother. That baby's not breathing on its own. Not yet. The baby is attached to the mother by the umbilical cord. And through that is supplied the nutrients, the oxygen that the child needs. By that is the waste or the nitrogen and so forth removed. It is the lifeline of that new life. It is the lifeline of that child, completely dependent upon the mother for sustenance, for nutrition, and for all of that. You know, I believe we are just as dependent upon the Lord. I'm not going to make it very long if I'm severed, if that connection is cut, because I need the Lord. I need the supply of that blood. I need the supply of His grace each and every day. Our victory comes from the Lord. Our ability to live what we preach comes from the Lord. Our ability to live a holy life comes from the Lord. I need the Lord's grace and His help. And the Lord has given us a lifeline. He's given us access to be able to tap in, to connect to the source of all that we need to be able to live soberly, godly, and righteous in this present life. He's given us a lifeline to be able to do it. Lord, help us to keep the lifeline open. When the enemy is coming and trying to sever us from that supply that comes from the Lord, and it can happen by the cares of life, by the busyness of life, it can happen by distraction. It can happen by me being lulled into a place that I feel like everything's all right. Take heed, he that thinketh he standeth, lest he fall. Our supply line is of, our lifeline is of utmost importance to our life, our spiritual life. Prayer is of utmost importance. The connection with God. I've been places that I've seen a little book. And in the book are listed and written out prayers for certain occasions, or maybe if I'm feeling certain ways, I can open up the book and turn to this prayer and read the prayer. You know, prayer is more than that. It's about communion with our Father. It's about coming to the Lord. How would it be if a child came to his father? Father, I want to read to you this request. No, just talk to me, child. Child, what's on your heart? What's bothering you? What's troubling you, child? Let me help you with that. The Lord wants us to be aware of our dependence upon Him, our reliance upon Him, and it's what we do in prayer that I acknowledge to the Lord. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you this day. In all of our ways to acknowledge Him. Lord, this decision that's before me, I need you today. Lord, I need your guidance and your wisdom and your counsel. It's not just whenever things are going well. Like I mentioned of Peter, whenever he was so sure of himself, that's when Jesus said to him, Peter, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Now is your time. Stay connected, Peter. Stay connected that you'll be able to have the strength. The enemy wants to get us into a place that we become careless in our communion with the Lord. And we begin to get weak spiritually. We begin to lose some of that power with God, and that strength and the desire begins to wane. And then I get into the battle and I get into temptation and I wonder, why am I so weak? Watch and pray. Stay connected to the lifeline that you might be able to stand against the devil in the time of temptation. Number of scriptures that come to mind. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Many have been the time, I'd say probably about every time, someone has maybe shared something that they're struggling with, they're dealing with, or they're coming before the Lord in prayer and have failed the Lord perhaps, seeking the Lord's forgiveness and His help, that if you ask Him, how's your prayer life been? Well, not very good. Kind of haven't been spending much time with the Lord. Haven't been too diligent in my prayer life and my walk with the Lord. Oh, folks, we need the Lord every day. Just as much when I don't feel keenly that desperate need for Him. Perhaps more than I do when it's so evident before me. I need the Lord. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. The 17th verse tells us, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Another place in Ephesians, it tells us in the 6th chapter, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Oh, it's talked about the weapons of our warfare and our armor that we're given to be able to defend ourselves and fight against the enemy of our soul. And in summary of it all, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Do we believe today that prayer works? That prayer is effectual? The scripture says of the shield of faith that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, our reliance, our dependence upon God, that we can do what otherwise we never could do. What looks impossible and really without God is. With God, we are able and can do all things through Him. If we believe, if we are convinced that prayer works, then you know, I believe it will be natural for us to turn to God in prayer. If I am convinced and have faith in God, to know that God hears, and I think of the different scriptures in the Bible, was it Jehoshaphat maybe who was sick and pleading with the Lord for his condition, and he sent the message to him, I have heard thy prayers and I have seen thy tears. Whenever Daniel was in a place that he was seeking the Lord fervently, earnestly, for weeks. Lord, I need an answer. This is Daniel who had gone to the Lord, and the Lord gave him a vision, if I recall correctly, this very night. Lord, reveal to me what the king's dream is. And now I'm praying and praying and seeking the Lord, and it doesn't seem like any answer is coming. What do I do? Lord, what's wrong? You ever have those thoughts present themselves to you? Well, what's wrong with you? Well, maybe the Lord's not answering. And the enemy tried to bring discouragement and an undermining of our faith. But Daniel kept praying and kept praying. And the angel, whenever he came back to Daniel with a message, he said, from the time that you first set your heart to seek the Lord, thy prayer was heard. But there was a reason why the angel wasn't Abel or didn't come immediately. And there are reasons that we can't see and know and understand. But we can be persuaded and convinced and know that God hears us, that God sees us, that He hears the heart's faint whisper, a song says, that He sees the trouble that we're in. Whenever we'll turn to the Lord in our trouble and our distress, not just to assume that the Lord will move upon His throne. I believe that we can almost use as a cop-out sometimes, well, the Lord sees and the Lord knows, and so He'll take care of it, but I have a part to play. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, remaining dependent upon the Lord, bringing it before the Lord, interceding over and over if need be, as the widow did. Lord, we need You. Lord, we need You. Not in vain repetition, but in the cry of the heart that is desperate for the Lord. You ever been in those places where you just think, I don't know what else to pray? I can remember a time staying up with people that were on their deathbeds and in serious pain and suffering, and you hear them cry out, and you go to the Lord and you pray and you pray, and the Lord is so faithful. So many have been the time that the Lord gives relief. And then you hear the groaning. Oh, pray for me again. What am I going to do? Oh, I already prayed. Noah, go to the Lord again. Lord, we're desperate for You here. And we pray and have done that sometimes all through the night, to the point that I say, Lord, I've already said everything that I know to say. And I've said it over and over again to You. But Lord, I'm still coming to You and I'm still desperate for Your help. Lord, have mercy. And the Spirit maketh intercession. When I don't know what to say, when I don't know how to pray as I ought to, if I'll turn to the Lord, if I'll lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help, in a world and in a time that is so self-sufficient today. There's self-help everywhere you look. Everybody's got an answer. Everybody's got something that'll help your need. To turn to the Lord first. Not just as an afterthought or as a backup plan when everything else fails. But whenever I come to the Lord and I fix my trust and my heart on Him, Lord, I know You have the answer. Isn't that how we're to come to the Lord? In faith. Believing. Lord, I know that You're God. Lord, I know that You're well able. I know that You hear our prayers. I know that You're going to work according to Your will. A heart that waits upon the Lord. That fixes ourselves. That sets ourselves to seek the Lord. What was it that Elijah did on Mount Carmel after it hadn't rained for 3.5 years. Let's turn to James. James, the 5th chapter. Sixteenth verse. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. It said very pointedly that he was a man of like passions. In other words, he was a man like you and me. If he was able to avail in prayer before God, we also may. Our prayers can also touch heaven's throne. And I think about that scene on Mount Carmel when Elijah was praying. And as I recall from the story, Elijah covered his head and he was seeking the Lord and praying earnestly. And he told his servant, go look. See if the prayer has been answered yet. No, my Lord. And he went back to prayer again. Go look again. There's still nothing. And he went back to prayer. And then he said, go look again. I mean, this is the man of God that the Lord had just sent down fire from heaven in response to his brief, earnest prayer. And now he's praying over and over. And on the seventh time, there was just a little bit of evidence, but it was enough. He said, the rains are coming. I know it is. Lord, help us to be strong in faith. When he returns, will he find faith on this earth? It doesn't matter how much technology and advancement and how self-dependent and reliant people are. We are just as desperate for God today as mankind ever has been. We're helpless without the Lord. We're pitiful without the Lord. You know, religion, even holiness, without the Spirit and grace of God, can be an ugly thing. Because it's just left with a form. In the last days, there will be those that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. I don't want just a form. I don't want to just go through the motions. I don't want us to just call ourselves Church of God, the saints of God. We believe in holiness. I need something to back that up. I need something to substantiate that. The power and the grace and the strength of God. It is available to us. But I'm going to have to put into it for it. Excuse me. I think of maybe one more illustration. I've never done it. But those that scuba dive and immerse themselves in essentially another world, you know that's not our habitat. That's not our natural environment. Man doesn't thrive very well underwater. Not very long. But whenever a scuba diver is going into the water, they don the scuba gear. They put on the tank that has air. The things that are essential for me to be able to survive in an environment that is not natural for me. They put on that gear and the mask and all that is supplying the air to them as they go underwater. And as long as that holds out, they're able to survive. They're able to thrive, to do what they want to do underwater. Folks, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're strangers and pilgrims. This earth, this world, and the systems of this world is not our natural habitat of the soul. The soul doesn't thrive in this environment. We're not going to find the encouragement and the grace and the holding up of our hands from people in the world. We're not going to find it by turning on the radio or checking the news, or that's not going to provide for us what we need. Religion isn't going to provide for us what we need. But thank the Lord that He has come to supply all that we need in Christ Jesus to be able to live in an environment that is not natural to us. I believe that the Lord has an environment for us, or has a plan for us, has the gear for us, the equipment, if you will, that we can live in this present world. I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but keep them. Supply them with the grace and with the strength and with the understanding and everything that they're going to need to be able to survive in that environment. The Lord wants us to be able to survive. Not only to have life, but to have it more abundantly. But to do that, we're going to have to be geared up. We're going to have to be connected to the lifeline that supplies to my soul what I need to be able to stand, what I need to be able to go on, to be able to resist temptation, to be able to be what the Lord would have me to be. I can't do it on my own. I can't survive underwater very long at all. You know, we may go to the altar, which I believe is very appropriate when the Lord talks to my heart. But you know, if I get up from there and I don't stay connected to the lifeline, it's not going to last very long. I'm going to have something every day of my life that is replenishing, renewing, supplying what I need to be able to survive. Thank the Lord that He is that lifeline, that we have access to Him through communion. If Jesus felt so keenly the need of getting apart and spending time with the Lord, with His Father in prayer, how much more do we need to? As I mentioned, I don't believe it's a legalistic, it's not for the pastor to say you need to pray an hour a day. But I want to encourage us that we stay connected to this lifeline. We can be praying as we're driving down the road, as we're working, to have a prayer on our heart that my thoughts and my mind is turned to the Lord. Lord, help me with this. Lord, I got this email that I need to send to where I got this thing that I need. Lord, would you help me with this? To have a prayer on our heart, but at the same time, I believe there needs to be something more than just fast food prayers. That I need to have that place where I can get alone with the Lord. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need to talk to you about the day. I need to talk to you about this thing that I saw in myself. Lord, I need your help. And I'm so thankful that the Lord is willing and able to supply that which I in myself lack through this lifeline. You pray for me. Amen.